any damages at your house or because of the rain, thunderstorm, and so forth. A couple of views. Last Sabbath, I came into early service and experienced the tornadoes pass through the church. Then after that, my wife came later and he said that, do you know our tree fell and landed on our neighbor's patio? It was not a good news, but let me tell you, I was not at peace last Sabbath. Every time the pastor was his preaching, my mind said, your tree is on your neighbor's patio. Praise the Lord. I went back and checked it. It's only one rafter that was kind of, but the fence is down. And I said to myself, God is good. Praise the Lord. Pastor Jones is arriving at the South End University, and I know that his prayer and his thoughts is with us today. So I hope that you will pray for him as he set aside 3 weeks to study and meditate. When he comes back, he will share with us blessings that he came with his experience with the Holy Spirit over there. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for Fallbrook Church family. Even though we experience lots of rain, thunderstorm, but in the midst of all of this, we can experience the quietness and the peace when we come in contact with the presence of the Holy Spirit. As we come together this Sabbath, please, Lord, speak in us, with us. Speak in spite of us and help us to hear your voice so we can say, use us, Lord, whatever you want us to do. Bless our worship this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. I visited the Heart Research Office the middle of this week, visit with Dan, and he gave me the article, a magazine, a New York Times magazine. I look at the front cover of New York Times magazine, the issue of October 31 of last year, just before the presidential election. The front page of the New York Times magazine feature the artwork or the paint the artwork of Nathan Green right in the front of the New York Times magazine. The author used the portrait of two businessmen in their black suit inside a office. The background through the window overlook a beautiful scene of a modern city. And what captivates me about that portrait, Jesus and they were about to have a business meeting or have a business agreement. And Jesus there, extending his hand, shaking one of the businessmen. If you've seen the picture, you may recognize that businessman. He may be a member of our church. But the title of the feature article says, Faith at Work. The author was Russell Shuttle. The author tried to bring his point by using that portrait of Jesus, two businessmen discussing business. And his point says that there is an increased interest among the American people toward religion. And people would like to bring religion and spiritual things. He cites a lot of examples of different businesses, allowed spiritual conversations, prayer groups, Bible studies. And his point is, he wondered why all of a sudden people of America are so interested in religion. He asked a question, is it legal? His concern was that if religion comes in the business site, it could be used as an agent to minorities, races. But the article says, sharing your faith in your work site, wherever you may be, is legal as long as you don't try to impose it without the consent of another person. It's enlightening to read the article. And the author says, try to respond to the question he raised, is that American people proud or true to our elite religion is because, first reasons, because of the fear, and they want God to find a solution of this overwhelming fear of the terrorists that looming among our people. Another reason he cited is that it could be the moral corruptions that creep into the American values, and people would like to find an answer. So they try. One reason he cite of people crowded or drawn to religion is that there is a popular belief is going to be a great spiritual revival among business, schools, and churches. It's going to be a sermon this morning. It's not about why are so many Americans follow religions or interested in religions. Sermon this morning is about Jesus calling his disciples to follow him. This morning is about who would follow Jesus. If you open your Bible to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, that's where our message this morning comes from. Before Jesus invited his disciples to follow him, he asked them two questions. Find those questions in Luke chapter 9, verse 18, 19, and 20. If you follow your scripture, I will read it for us. Verse 18, once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowds say? Verse 19, they reply, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, the one of the prophets of the long ago has come back to life. Verse 20, but what about you? Jesus asked, who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are Christ. You are the Messiah. And if you remember when Jesus heard the confessions of Peter, he said, Peter, what you say is not from anyone,
But he's from what? From who? From where? From the Spirit of God. And upon that confession, I will build my see that those two questions that Peter disciples, its echo is also found in verse 7 and verse 9. If you look at verse 7 and verse 9, and Herod, the treacherous, asked the same question. Look at verse 7 and verse 9. Now Herod, the treacherous, heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed, because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Is this I hear such things about? Herod said, I try to see if I before Jesus called the disciples to follow him, he would like them to make a confession of faith, who Jesus really is to them. Did you know there are so many people that follow Jesus around? It even says in the scripture that we read in verse 14. If you look at verse 14, there are about 5,000 men that follow Jesus, not including women and children. Why there were so many people follow Jesus around? People follow Jesus for many reasons. The 12 disciples followed Jesus because Jesus called them to follow them. The Pharisees and Sadducees followed Jesus because they want to spy on him. The sinners followed Jesus because they want to be friendly to Jesus. The sick, the broken, the lame, they follow Jesus because they want to be the benefactors of Jesus' power. There were so many people follow Jesus for different reasons. But there are three other reasons I would like to point your attention to. People follow Jesus because of his popularity. Have you find yourself interested in somebody that you never met? As Michael Jackson's story, every time he appeared on court, the media seems to follow him around. And even myself, I find myself finding reading about Michael Jackson. I wonder, I'm curious, what would happen to him next? It's all because of what? Popularity. Could it be Christians crowded interest, share their interest to spirituality because it's a popular culture? Could it be a popularity draw us to interest in spiritual things? Even Herod, when he heard about things Jesus performed, he said, who was he? Who was this man? I would like to meet him. He heard and perplexed, but he wants to follow Jesus. Not only popularity may seem to draw people to be interested in spiritual matters, but also the influence. Did you know people with influence, you see people crowded around those people? I sometimes wonder if I do have influence. But sometimes, if we don't have influence, we want to do something, so we have the attentions of the multitude of people. Could it be some people draw or crowded to religion and worship is because of the influence? There are some influence people that they want to rub shoulders because influence has power. Could it be people follow Jesus because of influence? If you turn your Bible to the books of Acts chapter 8, there is an example that it will reflect the thought that people interest in spiritual matter because there is an influence involved in it. Acts chapter 8, verse 10. If you have your Bible, turn to it and as we explore the text, Acts chapter 8, verse 9, I read it. Now for some time, a man named Simeon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is a divine power known as the Great." Drop down and look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. When Simeon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hand, he offered them money and said, "Give me all this ability so that everyone of whom I lay my hands may receive the what? The Holy Spirit." And look, read on in verse 20. Peter answered, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money." Verse 21. "You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not before God. Is not right with God." Could it be people interest in religion, spiritual matters, because there is an element of influence? They want other people's attention. Not only the influence, people also crowded in religions or may follow Jesus because he manifested the power of God. Some people follow Jesus because he has the power to heal, to restore, and to set them free. They want to be the benefit of the power. They want to follow Jesus because he could be the one that can drive away the Romans and set us free because he has the power. My family, this morning, if the author of the article Faith at Work has an observation, there is an extreme interest of American people to religion and bring their beliefs and their worship and their practice in the work site. What could that be? Why is that all of a sudden a great interest in religion? Could it be that most people are attracted to religions and spiritual matter because of its popularity in marketplace? It is the talk of the town? Could it be? Could it be because people attract to religion because it has the influence to draw the crowd? So they will have the attentions of the people? Could it be people attracted to religions because it has a power to appeal to the emotions? Like other author says, it's like a religion is like a drug, it's an opium that would escape us from reality. When you take it, it's just hallucinate you and forget about reality. But my family this morning, When Jesus called people to follow him, he first pressed them to make a confession of faith of who Jesus is in their relationship to him. Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you think I am?" The disciple says, "Master, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior of the world." And Jesus said, upon that confession, I shall build my church. To follow Jesus is not because a popular culture, a popular person, it's not because he has an influence, it's not because he has power. To follow Jesus, we must confess that he is the Son of God. He died, he was suffered, he was rejected, and he was resurrected, all because of me. When you make the confessions of faith, when I make the confessions of faith, when I have the conviction and develop a relationship with Jesus, claim that he is the Son of God, and Jesus will invite you, would you like to come after me? And if you look at verse 23, Jesus did likewise. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. After Jesus challenged the disciples to make a confession of faith, and he bade them, "Come, follow me." Verse 23 says, "Then he said to them, if anyone will come after me, he must what? He must deny himself, take up his cross, and what? And follow me." The Greek word there, follow, translate partnership, be in union with Christ. If you want to follow Jesus, become his disciples, you must deny the self and carry the cross daily and be partnership with Jesus. My family, denying the self does not mean denying your inner strength. However, is to die the self daily by surrendering the power of the will to join forces with the mighty power of God. That's what it means, denying the self. It doesn't mean to deny your strength. No, it says you need to avail the power of the will to join forces with the power of God. The worst enemy that we ever face is the self. And need to be denied. You need to be redirected and join forces with the mighty power of God. The secret of the great success of the American forces against the war against Iraq, even though American forces can do it alone, but he availed his forces to join forces with other nations to complete the mission. Step to Christ. Step to Christ, page 48, says, by yielding up your will to Christ, you ally yourself with the power that is above all principalities and power. You will have strength from above to hold you steadfast, and thus through constant surrender to God, you will be enabled to live the new life, even the life of faith. To follow Jesus and become his disciples, not because he's a popular person, It's not because of influence. It's not because of power. But because we want to avail the self, the power of the will, to join forces with the power of God. And how can we do that? Romans chapter 6, verse 5. How can we avail ourselves? Let the self die daily. It's part of the lesson study this morning. How can we do that? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 5 says, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrections. Verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. My friend, this morning, how can we die self daily and surrender the power of the will to unite with God? Let us die together with Jesus daily. Daily devotion. Sometimes I miss my devotion. I become very mean to my children. May God help me. Daily devotions, it will calm the self, but connected with the peace and love of Jesus. Reflections, worship, fellowship, meditations on the Word of God. That's how we deny the self. But let the power of God work and reflect in us. So when Jesus called the disciples to follow him, he called them to join forces and let him lead and guide and direct in our lives. Not only he asked us to deny the self, in verse 24 and 25, Jesus said, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. And verse 25, what good it is for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose, forfeit his very self? What good to have the whole world but lose your life? And Jesus, if you like to follow Jesus, become his disciples, take the risk of serving others for his sake. He may sometimes lose our lives. Follow Jesus. We're not after for something emotionally. But follow Jesus is the call of giving yourself to serve others for the sake of Jesus. When the military women's, men and women's oath to serve the military, they swear to sacrifice their lives to serve, to save their families and to serve the country. When God calls us to follow Jesus, call for a sacrifice. Sacrifice for others. One of the duties of those who call to follow Jesus is to take the risk that might sometimes cost their lives in order to save and to serve others. John 15, verse 12 and 14. I read it for us. I have told you this so that my joy be in you and that your joy may be complete. Verse 12. My command is this: love each other as I love you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for who? For his friends. And verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Follow Jesus is to lay down our lives, not to live for ourselves alone, but with for others. Last week, my tree fell on my neighbor's patio. Glad there was not big damage, but I had a challenge how to take it away from my neighbor's patio. Some members moved and came out to rescue. The children were there in the rain, in the mud. We cut the tree. They even went out to buy material to fix the fence. Why did they do that? They risk their personal freedom, leisure time, to serve others for the sake of Jesus. That's what discipleship is all about. And blessed are those who give and those who receive. Jesus called us sacrifice, because if we sacrifice for others, we surely receive much more than we give. Not only to serve others, but in verse 26-27, Luke chapter 9, 26, 27. If anyone is ashamed of me and my word, if anyone ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. To follow Jesus, we must not be ashamed of the gospel of the kingdom. A couple of months ago, I have Jehovah Witness keep coming to visit, knock on my doors. They were so gentle, they were so persistent. They keep pamphlets, my heart goes out to them, for them. So they want to start a Bible study with me. I didn't say anything. Until they persistently want to come and share very genuine. I learned from them. I said to myself, I must tell my Jehovah Witness friend where I stand in my commitment, my relationship with Jesus. After that meeting, they were not happy with me. And I said to myself, I should have told them at the beginning. And I also learned a lesson. Those Jehovah Witnesses, they were so genuine. They were so bold. They were so persistent in the faith. But I held too long, 3 days, until we come to a confrontation that they left. We were not friends. We shall not be ashamed about the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to his disciples, you confess that I am the Messiah. If you wish to follow me, deny yourself and carry the cross. If you want to follow me, do not be ashamed of the gospel. If you want to follow me, Jesus said, you may lose your life, but you surely will be blessed. You'll be gaining more. My family, this morning, as the world, as Russell Soto make an observation, there is some kind of interest toward religious matter. People prone to follow religions. Why and how? But the Bible and the scripture clearly tells us, if we follow Jesus, deny yourself, carry the cross, risk your life to serve others for the sake of Jesus. And let us not be ashamed of the gospel of the kingdom. If you are my disciples, go and make disciples to all nations and baptize them in the name of God the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God help us as we walk with Him. Let us not draw unto Him for something that we can become a beneficiaries of the gospel, but be a genuine service, because we confess that He is the Son of God. He lives in our lives, and we need to reflect Him to the world. Father God in heaven, thank you for your love. Thank you for the word of God. Please help us that may we spend time with the word. Change us, transform us, that we may follow you all the way until you come in clouds of glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.